This will be the final part in Paul's mixed multitude. And we looked at some of these distinctions initially, before. We looked at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 and went through most of the phrases there. I want to concentrate for a little while here on the last phrase in that verse, both theirs and ours. Paul addressed the church of God, those who were sanctified in Christ Jesus, those who were called to be saints, and those who were to call on the name of Jesus Christ. And he adds a description to the groups that are addressed there, that Jesus Christ is both their Lord and our Lord. He's both the Lord of Israel and the Lord of the body of Christ. And that makes a distinction between Paul's own relationship to the Lord and the relationship of the Lord to those who believed Paul's preaching of the gospel of God in Corinth. Coming into the church of God, they had been apostate, not in the church of God, and when they believed that gospel of God, they became part of the church of God, believing Israel, like the little flock. And that's who Paul addressed this epistle to, and he says, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is both theirs and ours, you know, both their Lord and ours. So let's explore what that distinction is between the Apostle Paul and that you group at the time that Paul addressed his epistle to them. Remember, we studied earlier the fourth and unnamed group in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. And the fourth and unnamed group is the group that Paul is addressing. He's saying, you give none offense. The fourth group being addressed is to be understood to be you. I mean, that's an it's an ellipsis, grammatically. It's not the listener today, in other words. It's the listener back then as he wrote the letter. But those that Paul was addressing in that context, in that epistle, is who that he's writing to, who it's meant to be for. They're the ones not to give any offense. And the you, the fourth group, is to give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. The you is understood to be those that are being exhorted by Paul here. So let's see what the Bible says about what the distinction between Paul's relationship to the Lord and the you group, that group's initial relationship to the Lord before believing Paul's gospel of Christ, crucified for their sins. As they came out of the synagogue, believing the gospel of God, and before they believed the gospel of Christ. Paul said that after the you group in Corinth believed Paul's initial preaching about who Jesus is, they were sanctified in Christ Jesus. And that's right in verse 2 there, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. But he did not say that they were saved. There's one group in the Bible that is sanctified while waiting to be saved. It's the little flock. Called the little flock in Luke 12:32. It's the Israel of God, the Israel of God, called the Israel of God in Galatians 6:16. It's believing Jews, like the ones that Peter preached to and wrote to. And we read those verses at the beginning. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 and verse 5. So let's look at the verses that tell us that. Acts 21 verse 20, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And they're all zealous of the law. Now, here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Another verse that we haven't used lately about their future salvation, not a present salvation for Israel, for the Hebrews, it's in Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, so he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. How much sorer punishment? Paul never says that we get punished. So Paul was addressing his first Corinthian epistle to newly believing Jews, now sanctified, that had believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is, which Peter preached before he preached the gospel of salvation. Paul was counting them, as he wrote to them, he relayed God, I guess that's a good term to use. I don't know. The Bible doesn't use that word. But God inspired Paul to... I mean, God was doing the calling. But Paul mentioned it. Relayed it. I guess I'll use the word. Paul was calling them to be saved saints, which was not possible in Israel's doctrine until Christ returned. They would be saved at that point. Acts 3:19-21... Their sins are blotted out at the return of Christ, when the Lord sees fit to begin that restitution of all things. Look again at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Let's read it. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And Paul follows this by telling them how to be saved saints. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18-24. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God. How did they get saved? By the power of God, by the preaching of the cross. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. So it's not a matter of knowing. It's not a matter of worldly wisdom. The Lord provided what worldly wisdom would consider foolishness, the foolishness of preaching, and them that believe get saved. It's not a matter of knowing again, it's a matter of believing, putting yourself in the position of receiving that gift of eternal life. When I say putting yourself, there's nothing to do about it. It's just relaxing and letting go and saying, I can't do it, you did it, I receive it. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign, And the Greeks, here they are, this is what they do. The Greeks seek after wisdom. That's what makes them Greeks. Not where they were born. You know, you've got a Syrophoenician Greek, you've got a Ephesian Greek listed in the Bible. So it's not their nationality was Greek, it's that they sought wisdom. And the ones that were devout Greeks sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. That being in the scriptures held in the synagogues. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified. That's, you know, going back to the first verse there, 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. And there's the only reference I know of Greeks that are not the religious Greeks. These are Greeks. They're seeking wisdom, but it's worldly wisdom. And they either reject the godly wisdom, or they, I don't know, didn't hear it. I think they rejected it because they were seeking wisdom. I guess we'll find out someday. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, there's the calling of God again, both Jews and Greeks. At that time, God was calling Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And we find in chapter 7, six chapters later, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20, we find God calling both into the circumcision, what these people were, some of them, and into the body of Christ. Those that went on after believing the gospel of God and being the church of God, they heard Paul preach the gospel of Christ. Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. And they believed that. They believed that God had called them to salvation, immediate salvation, by believing that Christ had died for their sins. Different from Peter's gospel. God was calling some into Peter's gospel still at that time. That's only a 12-year period we're talking about, though. It's not today. It's not happening anymore. And that is the problem. That's what we're trying to remedy here. We're trying to get over the problem that some people look in the scriptures briefly and they find a gospel and they've heard, well, all gospels are the same, and so they go after it, and it says repent and be baptized. You know, so they go out to do this and do that, and change their life thinking repent means, you know, get rid of sin so that you'll be acceptable to God, and they miss the gospel. They think that because it's in the Bible that it's to them. And you know, you can go through Miles Coverdale's statement, and it's very relevant. I mean, it's what we should be doing, keeping everything in context. But, you know, try and get somebody to think that, oh, you mean I should keep it? I don't know. So I hope bringing out some of these details about who was preached what and who God was calling at what time into what church, I hope that will help get people to realize they need to find the gospel that Paul preached for us today and believe that to be saved. So after Paul tells these believing Jews, believing the gospel of God, tells them that they're called to be saints, a few verses later he says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then Paul, you know, goes on to briefly to preach the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to save them to be saints. Paul briefly said that it's the preaching of the cross That's the power of God to save us. And Paul preached that by the foolishness of preaching the cross, God saves them that believe. So, you know, if they would just believe those verses, it would be an eye-opener for them, and it would lead them into salvation, or depending on their what they understood at the time they're reading them, if they're reading and believing that when Jesus was on the cross, he was taking that believer's place, and he became his sin, giving that believer the righteousness of God, then, you know, he's believing the gospel. So, we preach Christ crucified, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified, the power of God unto salvation, and the wisdom of God unto salvation. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, not are being saved, or not are going to be saved at the return of Christ, but we are saved. It's the power of God. God has power to save you now, even though he chose to have Israel wait until the restitution of all things, when Christ returns to blot out their sins. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And there's, you know, a I don't know what that's called, but there's a reversal, you know, after that in the wisdom of God, the world knew, by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Believe the preaching of the cross, that Christ died for our sins. Believe it. So Paul gave them all that they needed to respond to his call to be saved, to Christ's call to be saved. Saved by believing the gospel of their salvation that Paul was preaching. Believing Paul's gospel, that they had followed the pattern that God created by saving Paul, forming the body of Christ. And later in the same epistle, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul goes into more detail about the gospel of salvation. back to 1 Corinthians 10:32, Paul tells you, that group there that he's exhorting, that he didn't name there, but was left understood in that verse, he tells them that he writes to give none offense to the church of God that they had just come out of. They had come out of apostate Israel into the church of God, and the body of Christ portion that believed the gospel of Christ had come out of the church of God into the body of Christ. So here he's writing to their, to that part of the separated out new believers, which went on further to believe the gospel of salvation. By the process of elimination, that you group would have to be the only remaining group of the four groups in 1 Corinthians 10:32. They would be the body of Christ. And that's also true of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 16, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 22. Let's look at those verses. In both those verses, Paul addresses the body of Christ, and he addresses them about the church of God that briefly they have been meeting with, and they had been part of before they heard and believed the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:16. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. There's a difference. There's two churches mentioned in that verse. Not by name, but the two groups are definitely there. So if somebody says, where are the two churches? Well, there's the two churches right there. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:22. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So the true church of God was rightly still partaking of the Lord's Passover, his last Passover that he had asked them to remember him by. And the body of Christ people had never been given admonition other than those Jews in 1 Corinthians, but it's never mentioned in Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Philemon, Titus, never mentioned about the Passover that, you know. And so he's saying here, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? He's addressing the body of Christ. And he says, you're despising the church of God among you there in that separated out group, Paul's meeting. So there you can see the two churches also. The U group that Paul addressed in Corinth can only be, like Paul is, a different half of that separated group that today we know as the church, the body of Christ. Not the Jews. They're not the Gentiles. They're not the church of God in Jerusalem. And they're not the church of God in Corinth. They're the body of Christ. And just as we close here, you can see that the church of God is not apostate Israel, nor is it, nor is the church of God the body of Christ. The church of God is believing, prophetic, remnant of Israel, believing the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen Christ, the Son of God. And I'm done with the lesson and with the series, except for answering questions, comments, things like that.